You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Ryan, do you feel like we're cram-packed this last few weeks?
I do. But this is what's crazy about it is these are fantastic discussions we're having.
Yes. You know, we are always willing and looking forward to these podcasts and bringing education that maybe some of our survivors really are looking for. You know, one of the topics that have come up in several of our classes, get-togethers, is diabetes.
Yes. That pesky blood sugar.
Yes. And you know, sometimes we wonder if it has anything to do with cancer. Is it separate? How can we better ourselves? What can we do to learn more about it and help educate ourselves? So I think I'm excited today. How about you?
I really am. You know, we always talk about going to the expert, and we're very, very lucky to have the folks that we have kind of in our back pocket or our toolbox, if you will, right?
Yes.
We have some amazing folks to help take care of our survivors here at the center, and that's no different than today. We're really excited to have our guest, Clarissa Arona. She's a registered dietitian, and she specializes in diabetes. And so
I think we went to the expert.
Absolutely. And she works with Rachel, our dietitian. Somebody said, maybe thinking, did y'all get rid of Rachel? No. Rachel's still here, but we have someone who works with Rachel who specializes in diabetes. Clarissa, thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
We're really glad that you're here. And we were just visiting kind of a second ago, and you love working with folks who have questions and have concerns or do have diabetes.
Yes, that's what I specialize in. That's what I love doing. I love helping the community with diabetes because sometimes it can be very scary once we get that diabetes diagnosis. I love just to be a support for somebody that has diabetes or maybe in that pre-diabetes range, just to make sure that they are living a long and healthy life. Because even though you have a diabetes diagnosis, doesn't mean that you can't live a healthy life.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like cancer. Back in the day, we thought it was a death sentence.
Right.
You know, some things that we can control are what we eat to help better ourselves. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about how diabetes and blood sugar.
Yes.
How does that, I mean, like, this is a cancer organization, you know, cancer survivorship. Why are we talking about this?
Because diabetes can either, we can either have it before or it can be a reaction like after treatment that somebody can have a little bit elevated more blood sugar. So just kind of explaining what diabetes is. So diabetes is our blood sugars are a little out of whack. And so what's the organ that's responsible for our blood sugars? Our pancreas. And so with diabetes, our body either becomes a little bit more insulin resistant. So insulin's the hormone that is used for our body when we eat carbs. Carbs turn into sugar, insulin is released to make our body absorb that blood sugar a little bit better. And so with the pancreas, if it's not working as well, then our insulin levels, we're either sending out too much. And if we keep doing that over long periods of time, our body stops will either stop making as much insulin. So then our body will need insulin. And so that's kind of how diabetes works. And so for cancer, it could either be maybe sometimes with someone that has type 1 or type 2 diabetes, we could be at higher risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, those hormone organs. And so that could be a little bit more of a complication because of diabetes. Or somebody gets cancer, it's diagnosed with cancer, has to do some treatments. Certain cancer medications could increase our weight, which can increase our risk for diabetes. Or maybe we have like pancreatic cancer and they have to have a surgery and some or majority of their pancreas has to be removed. And so our pancreas is involved with regulating those blood sugars.
Yeah.
And so then now they are having to give themselves insulin. And insulin is a hormone. And so insulin can increase a little bit of that weight gain. And so that can be kind of the reasons why people that have cancer or are going through cancer treatment are worried about their blood sugars a little bit.
You mentioned type 1 and type 2.
Yes.
So for most of these folks that have been diagnosed with cancer, more than likely, if they haven't had the diagnosis of type 1, it is probably type 2, right?
Yes. So type 1 used to be like, they would call it like the juvenile diabetes, because we typically get it when we're younger. But now we're seeing it more people in their 20s or even 30s developing type 1 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is more of our environment. So lack of exercise, if we're eating not a well-balanced diet, but also familial, our genetics are a big component of getting type 2 diabetes. And so making sure that we're being proactive, because we can't fix our genetics. We're born with the genetics we have, but we can worry about or help with our diet. Exercise, sleep is also very important. And so making sure we're getting enough sleep, and stress levels, because stress raises our blood sugars. And so finding healthy ways to cope with our stress, and not trying to use food as a stress response, because I know a lot of us, especially like food is around everything. So we're happy, sad, food is always around. And so finding ways to help cope with that, that we're not using food, because if we tend to overeat, that can increase our weight, which can also increase our blood sugars over time.
You know, I think we've talked about this before, that cancer, unfortunately, is that gift that just keeps on giving. And someone says, you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer and now I need to be worried about potentially having blood sugar issues and diabetes. I mean, it just piles on.
Yes.
Continually. So you're talking about how the cancer treatment, not only the cancer treatment, but the effects that cancer has on someone mentally, emotionally, can be the cause, if you will, of making our blood sugars go out of whack. Now, what can we do? What can our survivors do? Like, we don't want them to just throw in the towel and go, well, I'm going to have issues with this. Well, what can we do to help them?
So the first thing is asking for help, because that's one of the hardest things to do, especially when we're going through something very hard. We're always like, I don't want to burden anyone. I'm ready doing all these things, but always asking for help is the main thing. And then doing a little research, or even doing the classes with Rachel. Even the Cancer Survivorship Center, we see patients. So even going there. But the main thing is trying to have a more well-balanced meal. And so the basics of that for, like, I like to do, it's like a diabetes plate. So that's like the easiest way that we can help with portion control. And so the first thing is we got to figure out what foods have carbs. So, because carbs are what raise our blood sugar. And so the foods that have carbs are going to be our grains. So that's like your breads, noodles, rice, crackers, cookies, tortillas. And then we have our starchy vegetables. So our starchy vegetables have carbs. And so that is your potatoes, corn, beans, peas. And then we have our fruits, and then we have our dairy products like our milk and yogurt. Our cheese is mainly like our protein and our fat, so that doesn't really have a lot of carbs. And so it's not about avoiding carbs. So some people get really scared if they get the pre-diabetes diagnosis or they've had diabetes for a long time. They get really nervous and they're like, diabetes, scared, avoid carbs, can't eat them. And sometimes that can make you more insulin resistant. And so instead of taking out all the carbs, it's more about portion control. And so for our diabetes plate, we want to have about 25% or about a quarter of our plate to be carbs. And then the other quarter of our plate to be protein. So protein is our building blocks. Our body, our whole body is made of protein, our everything. And so the more, so when we're eating carbs, protein takes a little bit longer to digest. And so when we eat carbs and protein together, it helps with that blood sugar regulation, helps us feel full. And then, of course, we want to have those non-starchy vegetables. So our non-starchy vegetables are lower in carbs, tend to have a lot more fiber, but they're also a lot more filling. So those are going to be like our green veggies. So like broccoli, green beans, asparagus, but then also like tomatoes, carrots, bell peppers, onions, all of those veggies are going to be our non-starchy vegetables. And so that's kind of like, that's where I like to start when someone first comes to see me, is kind of going over that diabetes plate in the first place.
You know, I know our patients get overwhelmed very easily. And, you know, whenever they go through the diagnosis of a cancer, they get stressed.
Yes.
That doesn't help. And then here you're telling me I need to take all these things out to make my diet healthier. Yeah. And then I need to exercise. And then sometimes we, as human, we just feel overwhelmed.
Yes.
But what you're saying is sounds very simple. Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, a lot, it can feel very simple, but for a lot of people, maybe if we're not used to eating a lot of vegetables, or our comfort foods are a lot of carbs. And as we get older, we want more starchy foods. We may not need a lot. We may not want that protein, or it may be a little bit harder to eat if we're needing dentures or we're having missing teeth. And so it can be a little scary and overwhelming, but I like to meet people where they are, because everyone's life is different. And so I like for people to come in and just tell me how it is. I don't judge. We all love to eat food. Like, food is so yummy, but the main thing is just meeting people where they're at and making sure that they feel safe and giving them goals that are going to implement into their life. Because if I gave all my patients the same goal, yeah, it's not going to work. Right.
I would probably fail.
Yeah. You'd be out of a job.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that's really an important point to reiterate, is meeting them where they are. Mm-hmm. And where they are today is not, it's not bad.
No.
It's not the end of the world. Mm-mm. It's just where they are in this point in time.
Yes.
And I love that so much about our dietitians. And they're not judging, yeah, you know, not at all. That's the old joke, right?
Yes.
Like, don't pay attention to my plate. Mm-hmm. Don't look
or
at this.
Or don't eat anything yummy. Or yeah, if it's white, don't eat it. Or mm-hmm, if it tastes good, don't eat it. It's not about that. We want our food to taste good.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't hear, and I know, Pam, you guys that are listening, what you didn't hear was you have to cut everything out. Mm-hmm. That is not it at all. Yeah, and right. So I think that's important to reiterate, because it is something that can be done.
Yes.
And it goes back to what you said in the very beginning, is asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It yes, doesn't have to be hard. Mm-hmm. It can be done.
Yes.
And you're talking about this diabetes plate, which mm-hmm, is a quarter of it. Mm-hmm. Can still be your starchy stuff, can still yes, be your carbohydrates.
So that's a lot.
It is. Now, yeah, wait a minute. How tall can it be?
And so about a serving of carbs, like a good place to start is about, like, for corn or beans, about a half a cup is a serving. And so we could have around 3 to 4 servings per meal. And so if we're thinking about that, then we could have like a half a cup of rice, a half a cup of beans, maybe a small, like a 6-inch tortilla. And then of course having our protein. So we could do like some chicken and then have like a salad or some roasted veggies. And so it's a pretty filling plate, but we're just not overdoing it.
That's still quite a bit.
That yeah, is. I'm thinking that's a lot of food.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, so I like to just kind of see where people are. Cause a lot of people think, well, like if, I'm used to eating a lot of rice and beans or tortillas, I can never have those things. And so it's more about looking at the serving sizes and seeing what we can have. The main thing I would say to try to really avoid are like sweetened beverages, just because sweetened beverages have a lot of added sugar for the most part. So, and they don't have any fiber or protein in there. And as soon as we eat carbs, they start digesting when they hit our tongue. And if it's a liquid, there's nothing to digest. So it gets absorbed very quickly and it raises up those blood sugars. Mm. Of course, if we're not eating enough and we're on insulin or we're skipping meals, like 1 or 2 meals a day, we could be having those low blood sugars. And those also can be very dangerous, especially for somebody that's maybe a little bit older. And sometimes when we are... We maybe get a little bit more confused, or if we're living alone. And so it's important to focus on getting those 3 meals a day, especially with diabetes, because that helps with blood sugar regulation. But it's also really important to get in those 3 meals a day, because that helps with our metabolism. And then also we want to help maintain our muscle mass. And as we're getting older, we want to make sure we're maintaining that quality of life. And so we want to make sure that they are staying healthy with their blood sugars, but also being able to do the things that they love. And right, so it's more of like a whole encompassing thing.
You know, one of the things that some of the patients may get why getting treatment is steroids, mm-hmm. and that can have a big mm-hmm. influx in your blood sugars. Is there things that we can help to regulate that whenever they are taking steroids?
Yes. And so exercise is a good thing. So if we're able to exercise, walking is great. So I think when people think exercise, they think, oh, I have to be in the gym for 2 hours lifting weights, or I have to go run 5 miles a day. It's more about just moving our body a little bit more. And so exercise is great. Getting enough protein in. If they are on some medications, or maybe if we're having that inflammation, or maybe we need to be on steroids for a little bit. If they already have diabetes, maybe increasing their insulin doses around that time just to help with that blood sugar spike. Because it can just be elevated a little bit, but then it can come back down when we're off those steroids.
Right.
Yeah. Again, meeting them where they are.
Yes.
Working around the situation of what's going mm-hmm. on. And I think too that I know that I've had some folks talk about the continuous glucose monitors. Yes, can we discuss really that?
Yeah. So there's a glucometer that's pretty familiar. Everyone, we poke our fingers, we check our blood sugars, and then the continuous glucose monitor is put on your arm. It's a sensor, and you put it on every 10 to 14 days, just depending on the type of CGM you have. And you can either use your smartphone, or you have a different like meter, and it checks your blood sugars every 5 minutes. And it's more of kind of like a lag. So it checks it over long periods of time. And the finger stick is more of like that point in time. And so what's really good about the CGM, it's over 24 hours. So you can see what your blood sugars are doing when you're sleeping or after a meal, like the trends, and see what that's doing. And especially if we're having a lot of low blood sugars, it's really important to have that CGM just so we can help prevent like them being hospitalized, because low blood sugars are very scary. And so our body can adapt to high blood sugars. Our bodies are pretty amazing. Like they can do a lot. And so high blood sugars people can kind of live with, but low blood sugars, if our body has low blood sugars and our brain uses a lot of glucose, and if we're not able to use that glucose, then we have the shakiness, irritableness, confusion, fainting. And so it's really, we want to make sure that they're, if we have that, especially doing the CGM overnight. But then if we're having high blood sugars, it's good to kind of look at that. The CGMs can be a little tricky though, because sometimes maybe if we're in that pre-diabetes range, or sometimes people can get fixated on it. So it can get a little scary sometimes. And so I always tell people, don't check your blood sugars like right after you ate something, because your blood, they may be in the 200s or a little bit higher, but the goal is for blood sugar management. After 2 hours, we want it less than 180. So if we ate a meal and maybe 30 minutes after it's at 225, but then we ate at noon, we check around 2 o'clock, it's at 160, 180, then we're doing great for those blood sugars.
Who qualifies for those monitors?
And for people that are on insulin, mm-hmm. I do. And then if you are, if your doctor documents 2 or more incidents of hypoglycemia, or if you're hospitalized for hypoglycemia, you will qualify for those. But they do have some over-the-counter CGMs now, which they don't do as much as like the ones that are prescribed, but they do monitor your blood sugar levels. And those are recommended for patients that aren't on insulin. And so if you are on insulin, we would rather you do like the one that the doctors prescribe instead of the over-the-counter ones, just because they do a little bit more. Right.
So the over-the-counter ones might be a good resource for our cancer survivors if yes. they are concerned about, mm-hmm. you know, their medicines that they're taking, steroids, mm-hmm. aromatase inhibitors, things like that,
yes.
causing the fluctuations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those would be really good. Yeah, and you don't have to have it forever. You can do it for a month or 3 months and just see the trends of what you're doing. Those are typically like $90 to $100 a month. So they're not cheap, but they could kind of help with that.
If that's something that you're mm-hmm. concerned about.
Yes.
But again, as you said, it can be overwhelming and be way too mm-hmm. much information yeah. that you have to try to understand.
Mm-hmm. So some people will do it and then they're like, okay, I'm glad I did that, but like, I don't want to do that forever. But it's also good at the same time because it makes you think. And so maybe we don't have type 2 diabetes or we're not on insulin or type 1, but maybe we're like, oh, let me try that. Or oh, I'm going to get a snack. And then you're like, wait, am I hungry or am I just feel a little snacky? So it kind of gives you that little like, wait, let me think about it. Because we don't want to just eat out of boredom. We want to make sure we're having a good scheduled meal plan or meal times, because if we're eating at different times of the day or we're eating once a day, then our blood sugars can kind of yo-yo.
Maybe for some of our listeners, they're thinking, heck, how do I even know I have diabetes? Mm-hmm. How do they go about getting diagnosed?
And so the first thing, some people will have some symptoms. So symptoms of high blood sugar or hyperglycemia is they'll have some blurry vision is a good indicator. They could be having wounds that aren't healing very well, or we can have excessive urine, really hungry, really thirsty. And so those are symptoms of that. So if you are experiencing any of those symptoms, go into your primary care physician and or the ER just to check your blood sugars. And so when we are going to the doctor for pre-diabetes, the A1C is an average of your blood sugar. So it's an average of 90 days. So our body, that hemoglobin is running through our body for 90 days, and that's how they pick up that average of your blood sugar. And so for prediabetes, it is 5.7 to 6.4. For type 2 diabetes or a diabetes diagnosis, 6.5 or higher. And so that's the main one that they'll do, or the fasting blood sugar. So fasting, we want to check that before we eat or drink anything. Between 100 and 125, that's going to be prediabetes. And then 126 or higher is that diabetes diagnosis.
So if you're diagnosed with prediabetes, there are things that you can do to help, which we've already discussed, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So we want to do more of that lifestyle change. Sometimes if people have a family history of diabetes, the doctors will recommend metformin just because it helps our body become less insulin resistant. Some people, metformin gets a little bit of a bad rep just because of the GI side effects, but it's a very safe drug. It's been around for long periods of time. And so sometimes you're not a failure if you're on medications. You know, sometimes people think, oh, I'm a failure because I got on medications, or I'm on insulin, I'm a failure. Diabetes is not your fault. We just got to make sure that we're helping to stay healthy.
Right.
And it's very manageable.
Yes.
Or can be.
Yes.
If you take care of yourself and you do the things.
Yes.
And you seek help.
Seek those experts.
Yes, that's right. You know, I think, can we boil it down very simplistic for our survivors about caring for themselves? We talked about exercise, we talked about portion control, and we talked about seeking reputable help. Is there anything else?
Focusing on some sleep. So we want to make sure we're getting sleep. Sometimes even people that are undiagnosed with sleep apnea, once they get that diagnosis and start using the machine, then their blood sugars go down like 40 to 60 points. Like it comes down quite a bit, so that it really does help. Of course, dietitians are always around, and then always even having that support of their family or the community, because if we're doing these healthy lifestyle changes with somebody, we're likely to stick with it. And so finding the community here at the Cancer Survivorship Center, or just finding somebody that you want help with doing it.
You also talked about stress. There's ways to manage stress to help with your blood sugar as well. Yeah. I think we have a few things, few options.
I think we do, Pam. And I think what's important to throw out there too, as what Clarissa just said, was finding someone to do these things with you. That's why we allow your spouse, a loved one, a caregiver to come with you to our classes, to our gym, to those programs, so that you don't have to feel like you're on an island doing this by yourself.
Yes.
You know, diabetes can be overwhelming. Is there anything else that you would like to leave our listeners with before we get to our last segment?
Yes, I think instead of doing the all or nothing mindset, thinking about being 1% better every day, because if we're thinking about being a little bit better every day, it's going to be easier to stick with instead of trying to do a 180 with your life and maybe taking out all the carbs or trying to go work out every day when we haven't really worked out a lot. So just trying to be better of like, okay, I'm going to try to drink more water every day, or doing more of like habit stacking. So habit stacking is you look at your life normally, how it is, and then you add something in. And so for me, when I was working two jobs at the time, I wasn't able to work out. And so I was like, okay, what can I do that I'm ready doing? I was ready walking my dogs. So I was like, I'm going to walk them for a minimum of 15 minutes every time I walk them. And I was walking them maybe 3 or 4 times a day. And so I did about an hour a day. And then once I got better at that, I was like, okay, I'm going to do a mile at the end of the day. And I started doing that. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to start increasing my pace. And then I started increasing my pace. And so finding ways to habit stack just to get into your own life that fits with you. And then once we get that down, we start building that confidence. And the more confidence we have, the better we're going to stick with it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Habit stacking. I've never heard that before, but yes, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we want an easy fix, but, you know, this is doable. Mm-hmm. Don't beat yourself up. There is help out there. There's community. There's education. There's classes to help with all these symptoms.
And be better than yesterday. 1%.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Beat and yesterday.
Be nicer whatever you want to yourself.
Say. Yes. Oh, yeah. We say that all the time. Give yourself some grace.
Yes.
This is a season, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've shared that. And I know Pam, you do as well. When someone comes in and, I should this and I should be better and I have to, and I need to, and I do, and I da, 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 all the things. And we say, give yourself some grace.
You are the only one shooting yourself.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Clarissa, that brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you can share with our listeners?
Yes, I do. We started doing these classes called Lunch Bites at Panhandle Nutrition, and it's a diabetes kind of like workshop. So we do a 9-week lunch class online, and I had one of my patients, she completed the lunch bites. Her A1C was 7%. And after that, the lunch, or after we did the classes online, she wanted to do some grocery shopping. So I went to the grocery store with her. We tore the groceries, gave her some recommendations, and she was still meeting with another dietitian. On top of that, with completing all of that, her A1C went down to 6.4%. And so just doing those small changes kind of helped her. So I really love that, because having all of this for the community is actually helping. And that's what I love a lot about my job, is seeing people say, oh, I can do this. Oh, I'm actually doing it.
I am doing it.
Look at my blood sugars. They're a lot better. I'm still eating the foods I love. And so I was really happy for her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. It's when you see plans put into action and you see those results, you know, I know, Pam, we've had folks come in and say, I've been doing this and I've been doing that, and my bone density has, you know, increased. I'm getting strong. You know, I'm now off of my blood pressure medicine or whatever the case may be.
Those people that go to Rachel's nutrition class, I tried green vegetables for the first time, you know,
yeah, I like
they're
it.
Not bad.
Yeah, they're not bad. Yes.
I mean, it really, it's kind of those things, you know, aha, like, wow, this is great. This is great. Well, thank you, Clarissa, for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge, and also for working with our cancer survivors, those that are struggling with their blood sugars. And we certainly appreciate Panhandle Nutrition. Mm-hmm. Rachel and her crew over there are amazing. And as I said at the beginning, we have some fantastic, wonderful resources that are very, very specialized to help you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. Pam, I tell you, again, it's a great day for learning.
Yes,
very good episode. Lots of little things to take away from that.
Yes, I think all the one takeaway is the mindset. Like,
yeah,
you can do this.
That's right. And finding little ways to, as Clarissa said, habit stack. I'm going to start trying to work that in a little bit.
We can do that.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Well, listen, you guys, I think this is a good reminder of taking great care of yourself, especially this time of the year of the holidays, and know that we're here for you. We have these resources. If you're struggling, if you know that, you know, you've got blood sugar issues, you've been to your doctor, as Clarissa said, you've been to the doctor, you've got this, you're trying to manage it on your own. You don't have to.
Right.
You do not have to. We have the resource for you. And guess what? We're going to get you plugged in with Clarissa, with Rachel and her team, and we're going to cover that. There is no charge for that. So don't stress. Again, this is a stress reliever. We're trying to help you out.
Yes. Super simple. If you need more information, give us a call at 806-331-2400. Stop by our office at 1732 Hagee Boulevard.
That's right. We'd love to show you around if you've not been by here. We have great resources for you here. We have this beautiful gym that you can come in and walk. You can't walk your dog on the treadmill, but as Clarissa was walking her dog, but you can come in, you can walk on the treadmill. We can help you manage those side effects of your treatment and help you with your blood sugars. We just want to help you out. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for sharing this podcast, and stay tuned for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.